Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand-name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight it's a pleasure to welcome into our beautiful studios here in downtown Exeter, Rhode Island, Melanie Gendro, actress, vocalist, and teaching artists, voiceover artists, all kinds of things. Welcome to the program, Melanie.
Thank you, Mike. I'm glad to be here.
Nice to have you with us. And we're going to find out everything there is to know about Melanie. And a longtime Rhode Island resident, first off, is that correct?
Yes, from born and raised in Providence, Rhode Island.
But what part of Providence?
So right up near Mount Pleasant High School and Rhode Island College.
Okay. And, Still live in that area?
No, now I've moved just over the border to Seekonk, Mass. So it's sort of
I know. We have to end here now.
We're done. I did cross the border, but if I take two steps to the right, I'm in Barrington, and two steps to the left, I'm in East Providence. So
now,
Rhode Island's very much still my home.
Now you and I met at the Music Mansion in Providence, where I was extremely impressed with someone you know pretty well.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, your son is a pianist. And how old?
He's 13.
Evan, correct?
Evan, yes.
Evan is 13, and I heard him playing in the music room, and I was completely astonished. And what was the event we were there for, or you were there for?
We were there. My son also is a martial artist. He's pursuing his black belt in karate, and he studies with Rocky Silver American Karate Studio. And they were putting together a marketing video to recruit new students into the studios. And they were looking to show how the martial arts can be applied to other areas of your life, whether it be academic or sports, or in his case, piano or music. So they were filming him at the karate studio, you know, doing his forms and kind of, you know, getting focused. And then the idea would be he'd then go to apply it to playing his music, and he'd mess up a piece and then close his eyes, go to his karate training, and then apply it to his music.
So that is, I would think, not a normal segue for people to go from accomplished pianist to karate.
They're actually two very focused, disciplined activities, so they merge much more than I thought they would in his life. And it's really, he has a passion and skill and talent in both, so it's really interesting to see his athletic side and then his music side, and to see them come together in one world was really cool.
Very good. Very, very good. We're going to have Evan on as a guest as it gets a little bit close to the holidays, hopefully, maybe with a little holiday music. But right now, I then was so impressed, I asked you for a card. You handed me your card, and I went, oh, actress, oh, vocalist. So why don't we have you on the program? And you were nice enough to come in and talk about some of your many things that you've done over the years. As a singer, do you consider yourself a singer-turned-actress or an actress that sings?
Well, I think that's sort of changed throughout my life. So I started out as a singer. I did my first musical at age 10, Blessed Sacrament Elementary School in Providence. And, just started doing musicals through school, and was called the little girl with the big voice. I was tiny at that age, but had a strong belting voice. And so really singing was my passion growing up. And then as I got older and, you know, started doing community theater and branching out, and then fast forward a bit to my 20s and 30s, I started switching over to some on-camera work and auditioning in Boston and doing some commercial work and such. So it's really been an interesting journey, although music was where it started for me and is always my root passion and my home theater. I've really sort of grown into more of the acting piece of it. So it's been an exciting process to kind of see where this all leads.
Now, some people that are listening to the program are big fans of Theater by the Sea and the former Ocean State Theater in Warwick that had a lot of productions, and you performed there, correct?
I did. That was a huge honor for me. You know, coming from a background in performing in community theater, I at the time was working as a marketing executive for many years and sort of performing at night in the evenings, if you will. And then I went on to raise a family and I had two young children, and I got back into performing in theater and auditioned for Ocean State's production, never in my wildest dreams expecting to get cast, but not only at a regional theater, but to be in a production of Les Mis, having grown up with that musical, was just a dream come true. I mean, it's not something I ever thought I would see in my lifetime, having that show come to a regional theater.
Right.
So yeah, it was just one of those things where the stars aligned, and I'm so grateful for the opportunity. And, you know, we're all sad that theater is still not in operation at this time, but you know, it's just...
But at least you had the chance.
I had the chance, and they did wonderful work while they were here, and I met a lot of great people that I'm still connected with today.
The show was very well received, a great cast. Fred Scheff was was in that with you.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned auditioning. Did you audition here in Rhode Island?
I did. I auditioned at Ocean State. And you know, that's sort of an overwhelming process when you're auditioning with lots of folks at the regional level coming in from New York City. And even when we were doing the show and, you know, we were performing eight shows a week, and then Monday was dark. Well,
right.
A lot of people were leaving Sunday night and going back to New York and auditioning on Monday. And I was going home to my then, you know, early elementary age children. I just lived a very different life. So,
right. No,
but again,
I know how that goes. And I can remember I used to do the talk back after every show at Ocean State Theater, and Sunday afternoon was the time for the talk back. And I would see the show normally on opening night, which was Friday night, and then watch it as an audience member on Friday night, and then a little more technically when I watched it on Sunday, so that I would be able to either ask questions or answer questions, whatever. And there was frequently, you could almost see the tapping of the fingers of some people like, okay, this is great, but I got to go home. I got to drive to New York.
That's right.
So that was great. Now, other shows that you were in, we're going to touch on those in a few minutes, but I want to get to something that's a little bit special that's been going on during the pandemic. And you've been working with your son, who we've already talked about, Evan, very talented young man. Tell us about this project.
So with my son's music, he just blows me away. I mean, I don't mean to sound like the proud parent, but anybody that stops and hears him play, as you've had the opportunity to, sort of does a double take. And when he was younger and even smaller, people were like, how is he playing at that level? And he's been taking lessons for 7 years, but I truly believe when you've got a gift, it truly is a gift, and it's something he was born with, a God-given gift. And he started at the age of 3, he'd hear a commercial on TV and he'd go over to the piano and he'd start sounding it out. And I said, oh my. So we started him in lessons at 5 years old, and he reads music, but he really plays by ear. I mean, he can read the music, he can follow it, but he composes music. He just hears something and he'll just fiddle on the piano, and it just sounds like, you know, it's not just anybody just, you know, pressing on these keys and banging on them. He just knows how to work those keys and turning into beautiful music. And it's such a gift. It's such an honor and a joy to watch him do that.
Now, we have a little clip of something that it's local, homegrown quality. So it's not
very much
not
so.
Tell us about the music.
Yes. Okay. So this evolved through the pandemic. So I've always wanted to make music with my son. He has the piano skills, which I do not. I have the vocals. You know, he does as well, but he gets nervous about them. So I'm just trying to encourage him. I said, boy, when you play like that, if you can sing, the two are just marry each other so well. So we kind of play around at home. He plays, my husband plays guitar. My daughter sings as well, though she's very shy about it. So we kind of just in our own bubble have played music. But we have an annual family reunion on my mom's side of the family, and I'm the youngest of 15 grandchildren on that side. So with all of us grown and having our own children, the family has grown by leaps and bounds. So we have an annual reunion, and it often ends with a couple of hours at the night where we just jam. We just play, and we've got a bunch of guitar players in the family, singers, and it's just fun. In fact, I have two uncles that sing in a barbershop quartet in the D.C. area. They sing and they've sung for like the national baseball games and
probably members of the Alexandria Harmonizers.
Yes, they both. We come from a very musical family. It dates back to my grandfather, my mom's dad. That's where the lineage has started. But so we kind of worked music the last couple of years. Let's get a song together for the reunion. And then it turns into like a whole set with everybody in the family. So this year we had to unfortunately cancel our in-person reunion due to the pandemic. So mm-hmm. I really felt that, you know, with all of the popularity of Zoom meetings and conference calls, well, we could make this work for a virtual reunion. It won't be the same. And we did. It was great. We connected for our family members. You know, we have a good core family here in Rhode Island, obviously. And then we have family as far as D.C., Maryland, and Puerto Rico. So we connected with all of those family members. Everybody had a little moment on the screen to share what's going on with their family. And then we just had a nice jam session and everybody kind of took turns sharing music. So my family, this was a first for us. We did a piece from Dear Evan Hansen called You Will Be Found. And the song itself is just so fitting for the times we're going through. It's the theme of the song is you are not alone. And I think all of us, you know, through this pandemic, certainly feel that way at times, not only quarantined and isolated in our homes, but just the political turmoil that's going around us. So we just wanted a song of positivity and hope. And so I sang on lead vocals and my husband played on guitar. My daughter, Kelsey, she did backup vocals with my niece, Sarah. So they did some harmonies, and then my son not only accompanied us on piano, but he also music directed for us because he has such an ear for harmony. So it was just really fun, and we just sort of did it like, oh, this is cool. Like, we're just going to do this for our family, so it's mm-hmm. okay if we mess up. Like, we're just going to, you know, it's just about the messaging. Not knowing that fast forward to today, I'd be meeting with you. We might be playing this over the air. So that said, it might not be the best quality, but just the heart is there. And it was just such a gift for me in that moment to perform with the people I love the most.
Excellent. All right. We'll share that a little piece of that, and then we'll go to the actual Broadway cast and close out this segment with that. Then we'll be back with more of Melanie Gendreau.
Everybody needs to see this.
Every time that you call out, you're a little
5 minutes.
This will make your day.
From across the silence, your voice is heard.
Share it with the people you love.
Repost.
The world needs to hear this.
A beautiful tribute.
Favorite. I know someone who really needed to hear this today. So thank you, Evan Hansen, for doing what you're doing.
I never met you, Connor, but coming out here, reading everyone's posts, it's so easy to feel alone, but Evan is exactly right. We're not alone. None of
We're
us.
Not alone. None of us.
None of us. None of us are alone.
Like. Well,
especially now, with everything you hear in the news.
Like, share.
Repost.
Thank you, Evan Hansen, for giving us a space to remember Connor.
To be together.
To find each other.
Sending prayers from Michigan.
Vermont.
Tampa.
Sacramento.
Thank you, Evan Hansen.
Repost. Thank you, Evan Hansen.
Thank you.
Melanie Gendro is the subject of tonight's program. I don't know if you've been called a subject before or not, Melanie.
But hopefully that's a good thing.
Yeah. She is an actress and a vocalist. And Melanie, we didn't touch much on your other thing that you do now. You do voiceover work.
I do.
And a little PR work kind of stuff going on, too?
That was my trade after college, so mm-hmm. I went to Assumption College in Worcester, Mass, and got a degree in communications. So I didn't study theater in college. That was always sort of my hobby, my passion, but went into communications and started working right after college at RDW Group, which was one of the largest agencies in Providence in Rhode Island.
Was it RW?
RDW Group.
Was it that, or was there a T in it at that point?
There was not the T at that point.
Okay.
Nope.
Okay.
So really that's where I got my professional experience, and ironically was sort of the pivoting point for me to think about combining my performance experience with my marketing experience. So I was a PR account executive and, you know, writing press releases and newsletters and working with our creative department to execute advertising campaigns. And then we started getting in the world of creating corporate videos or mm-hmm. commercials for clients. And I remember being on set as the PR exec and watching what was going on in front of me and thinking, I could maybe do this. Mm-hmm. And it really piqued my interest. And then I started auditioning in Boston for commercial work. But what would happen in the auditioning world is that know, they'd call you up and say, gee, could you be in Boston for an audition tomorrow at, you know, 10 a.m.? And, well, no, I can't. I have a meeting at my professional job. And then it became, well, gee, now I've got infants and babies at home. So it felt like it was really never a great time for me to pursue that. But fast forward some years after having a number of marketing experience under my belt and doing a little stint at a Massachusetts bank to in-house marketing. And then I started auditioning regularly in Boston and tried to make a go of it. But as we all know, as artists, you know, unless you're one of the few and far between that make it on Broadway or TV shows and film, it's truly a labor of love. And I would just drive to Boston for a 10-minute audition and drive back home. And maybe for every 10 auditions, you'd get one job.
Sure, right.
But I still, it's something I just enjoyed the whole process. And when I did get booked, I loved being on set and just in general, being in room with creative people. You know, just being here today, having this conversation, I'm so isolated at home with doing voiceover. I have my little sound booth set up, and I'm blessed that I set myself up to do that before the pandemic. But now I'm literally isolated within my own home in this quiet little studio. So it's great to be in person with somebody and face-to-face having a conversation.
Well, it's good to have you here in the studio. And, you know, it's funny how one thing leads to another, and that's obviously happened with you, one step at a time. We have one of the pieces of music that you selected for today was from A Chorus Line, and the reason that we talked about A Chorus Line is because you've done that show along with Jesus Christ Superstar and Rent and Les Mis, and what am I missing? There was another one.
Chicago.
Chicago, right.
Yes, Chicago. And then way back, I did West Side Story. And fun fact, I actually did Chorus Line twice. So that was unexpected, but very blessed to have had that opportunity.
Well, since we're talking about A Chorus Line, why don't you tell us about I don't know if this is this your favorite song from A Chorus Line that we're about to do?
It's one of my favorites, and I think it just speaks to all of us as artists that, you know, what I did for love. I mean, you truly have to have a love and passion for this because it's not an easy career. It's not an easy hobby, whatever it is for you. It's a lot of perseverance and a lot of rejection for, you know, every success you probably have about 50 to 100 rejections in between those. So it really is a labor of love. It's a passion of mine. And for me, music is what connects me to my family and my upbringing. Like I said, I have a very musical family, and it all started with my grandfather. And he passed when I was only 7 years old. And being the youngest of 15 grandchildren, I don't have the same memories. I don't have any recording of him singing. But I hear so much about it over the years. So through my uncles that perform in barbershop and number of cousins that play instruments and the family reunions and the music, that's just who I am. It's just my what's in my blood. So for me, it very much is not only a love of performing, but it's a big connection to my family and who I am.
All right, let's get to A Chorus Line and What I Did for Love.
If today were the day you had to stop dancing, how would you feel?
Kiss today goodbye, the sweetness and the sorrow. Wish me luck the same to you. But I can't regret what I did for love, what I did for love. Look, my eyes are dry. The gift was ours to borrow. It's as if we always knew. And I won't forget what I did for love, what I did for love. Gone, love is never gone, as we travel on, love's what we'll remember. kiss today goodbye and point me toward tomorrow. We did what we had to do. Won't forget, can't regret what I did.
Melanie, while we were talking, while we were listening to that last piece, we talked a little bit about your experience at Ocean State Theater, and there's a couple of good stories you told me about that, starting with the auditioning process.
Yeah, so as I had mentioned, I did audition in Rhode Island at Ocean State, and, you know, for someone who's a mom, it's done theater all my life, and here I am auditioning for this regional theater with amazing caliber of talent coming from New York and beyond. I was blessed not only to get cast in one of my dream shows, that's a show I grew up listening to. It was like one of the first recordings I heard of a fully sung through musical. You know, I grew up in the days of my mom's albums, The Sound of Music and The King and I.
Right. That's my generation.
You know, when there's sort of like, you know, a storyline and a song and a story.
Right.
The first time I heard Les Mis in a full sung through and just the anthem music, it just really just blew my mind. And that's what, you know, going forward, that's just what I listen to is, you know, the rock musical and just fully sung through. Mm-hmm. It's just my heart. So the fact that I got cast in this production alone, but then I got the call from Joel Kipper at Ocean State Theater saying, we'd like you to understudy for the part of Eponine. And I won't date myself with my age, but I was definitely not a 16-year-old geared up to play that role, and I was
floored.
But
the good news is you looked like
it. So thank you to whosoever genes passed on to me. I think my grandmother. So that was just amazing in and of itself, and it was so challenging for me to learn the ensemble part and then to learn all the harmonies for an understudy role, never having done that, and just sort of watching and observing. That's how you learn the part of an understudy rather than doing. So that was intimidating for me, but I was really excited about it. Never got to play the role on stage, which I was hoping to do maybe just once, but it's okay. I had an amazing opportunity just listening and being surrounded by such wonderful talent. But the funny story I have is, and I share this as I evolved into teaching children's theater, is that, you know, a lot of my students would come to me after I cast them in a show and say, you know, why do I have only two lines? So I spent a lot of time teaching children the importance of ensemble and that it's not about being the lead and number of lines. And, you know, I got to play so many different roles in that show and so many different costume changes. But one of the perhaps most forgettable moments of the show was my spotlight where, being one of the smallest persons in the cast, I was asked to be the body of a dead soldier. And Thénardier had to lift me up over his shoulder and bring me down to the sewers and lay me on the stage. And never in my wildest dreams when I was cast into Les Mis did that, is that what I expected?
Oh, good. I can be a dead person.
I was a dead person. So, but again, had I said, oh, I'd love to do Les Mis, and oh, but I don't want to be in the ensemble, or oh, I'm an understudy and I never got the chance to play the actual role of Eponine, I can't imagine if I had said that, what I would have missed out on. Just, you know, being able to do that show, being listening to that overture every night, listening to that music, and watching some amazing talent on that stage perform some of my favorite songs. It was just an absolute blessing for me.
Excellent. All right. Well, let's listen to from that show, One Day More, and then we'll take a short break and we'll be back with more.
One day more, another day, another destiny, this never-ending road to Calvary. These men who seem to know my crime will surely come a second time. One day more.
I did not live until today. How can I live when we are parted?
One day more.
Tomorrow you'll be worlds away. And yet with you my world has started.
One more day will on my own.
Will we ever meet again?
One more day with him not caring.
I was born to be with you.
Shall I join my brothers there?
When our ranks begin to pour,
do I stay and do I dare?
Will you take your place with me?
One day more.
One more day to revolution. We will nip it in the bud. We'll be ready for these schoolboys. They will wet themselves
one day more.
Watch them run amok, catch them as they fall. Never know your luck when there's a free for all. Here a little dip, there a little touch. Most of them are gone, so they won't miss much.
One day to a new beginning.
Is here, I fight with you.
One day more,
I will join these people's heroes.
Searching for the father they go.
Having been in their little secrets,
I will know the things
they know.
Watch them run away to catch a
revolution.
There's a dream for all.
We'll be ready for this
moment. We'll be far away. Tomorrow is the judgment day.
Tomorrow we'll discover.
Conducting Conversations is the name of the program. I'm Mike Mano. Very pleased to be sitting with Melanie Gendreau. She's an actress and a vocalist, and we're talking about some of the shows she's been in. She's also the mother of a very talented family, and we talked a little bit about that in the first segment. We're going to get back to that a little bit more and talk about your son, Evan. I think he's just got a tremendous future in front of him as far as a pianist, and oh, as I mentioned in the first segment, hopefully we'll get him on here to do a little holiday music, perhaps.
That would be wonderful.
But one of the things we talked about was what you did during the pandemic with putting everything together with a family performance. But we've also got a small recording of Evan doing something here. Tell us about that.
Yes. So as I mentioned, my son started, I'd say, in the last 3 or 4 years composing music, and it's sort of grown in his skills and ability, and he just sort of sits down at the piano and starts putting these melodies together, and we would turn and say, is that something you learned in your lesson? He's like, no, it's just something I'm playing with. I'm like, oh, okay. That must be nice.
There you go.
Yeah, so it's just been really cool. So we're working with his piano instructor to, and some other folks in the industry to just figure out how to copyright this music and get it into sheet music formation. So he is working with the software to do that now that his, you know, he's got several songs under his belt. And so it's really exciting. And, you know, I try to work with him to say, hey, let's, you know, do some music together. And so he had this beautiful melody written. He wrote it last year, and just he plays these compositions. I'm like, okay, well, what are you going to do with it? Like, I think we should get this in sheet music, or it'd be nice to, you know, play it. So he'll play it at his piano recitals and such. But as I was listening to this, this was last Christmas, and we were sitting there and thinking about the song and saying it'd be nice if we could get some lyrics to this. So he just started playing, and I was looking at we have those individual candles in our windows at Christmas time. And I was just looking into that candle, and it just sort of, my creative wheels kind of sort of started spinning. And I was thinking about, and this is pre-pandemic, but we were still in very much a position of political turmoil. Or so I wanted just something, a song about peace, and especially, you know, raising children through this these times, you know, just really love and respect everybody of all walks of faith and colors of skin and, you know, sexual orientation. And we really want to impress that upon our children, and just really just the good old adage of love one another, respect one another. So that was sort of the impetus for creating that song. And we call it The Light because of our candlelight was that was there, and really that we all have this inner light shining within us, and really just shine your light on and your love upon others in the world. So we came up with this song together. He wrote the music, I wrote the lyrics, and it was really exciting. It hasn't really left anywhere than our four walls. We do have a amateur recording of it, but it's just something that we're starting to work on together, and just maybe producing some music.
Excellent. Well, it is not a studio-produced piece, so be patient here, but I think it's worth a listen. I can't wait to have Evan in. It's going to be a real treat to listen to some of his music and and be able to say, I knew him when. So it sounds like a great talent you have there. I'm sure the whole rest of the family, you mentioned your daughter singing and your husband playing the guitar, and sounds like a TV show ready to be made.
No, we're blessed. We really have two great kids, and my daughter is a own force upon herself. She's super talented as well, very much more introverted, but she's got many gifts and is a great athlete and cross-country star. So we've been blessed with two talented kiddos.
Now, I have to tell you a story about this next production we're going to discuss, Rent. Now, when Rent came to the Ocean State Theater, I knew it was coming. I knew a year ahead of time, like I knew all the shows back then, because I was very involved with Amy Turner and Joel Kipper and some of the planning of those shows, and would always talk about, I think we should do that, I think we should do this. My biggest accomplishment was getting the one with the puppets. See, now I can't even think.
Avenue Q.
Avenue Q.
Yes.
I have been bugging Amy to do that, and
okay.
She finally did. When she told me she was going to do Rent, I was like, oh, no, I hate that show.
Oh, no.
And I was like, I can't believe you're going to do Rent. What a waste. Do I have to go? And she says, yes, you have to go, and you have to, listen. So I went on the Friday night, as I mentioned earlier, for opening night, as I always did to all the shows there. And I was like, oh, this isn't what I thought it was. And then I went back on Sunday, and I was like, this is really good. I actually went back two other times following week because I enjoyed the show so much. And that's the show that we're going to talk about now. And what role did you play in Rent?
So I played the role of Maureen, which was made famous by the one and only Idina Menzel. So again, growing up in the generation of fully sung through musicals and rock musicals, not a show I ever expected to do in my lifetime on a local stage, let alone play that role. So there are many shows, and I think we can all agree as artists that, some shows come and go, and, but there are some shows that just stay with you for life. And that, for me, is Rent. This was performed at Little Theater Fall River, and we just had an amazing cast that really bonded both on and off stage. And that show, particularly for me, at where I was in my life. So my mom passed away 8 years ago from ovarian cancer. And during the time where I was pregnant with my two children, raising my children, she was sick during those years. And I was performing up until, when it was getting toward the end for her. And in fact, I quit a show. I was cast in a production at Community Players of Curtains. And it's the first time I've ever backed out of a show. But my mom's cancer had turned for the worse. And I knew I couldn't very well be up on stage during that time. And I remember being in the hospital with her. And she had tears in her eyes and looked at me and said, don't stop doing this. And that is really, to this day, why I continue to do what I do and really advocate for and pursue any artistic endeavors is for my mom. So in fact, when I was doing Rent, that happened to be the last show that she saw me in on stage, which was very difficult for me, but I can't think of a more fitting show. The whole feeling behind that show and the no day but today and just live for the moment. Mm-hmm. I mean, boy, we were in that in my family's life. So fast forward a year later, her last summer here with us, I gathered a group of friends and artists, and we performed a no day but today cabaret in the honor of my mom at the East Providence Public Library. And we had this cabaret concert outdoors. They had the biggest group of spectators there the library was thrilled. And it was really just to thank my mom, because my parents were, and my dad still to this day, they're just my biggest fans and supporters. They were at every show. In fact, when I did Les Mis at Ocean State, it was the first show I did after my mom had passed. And it wasn't the same. It was hard for me in that she was missing that. But opening night, you can bet your bottom dollar that I walked out to that lobby and there was my dad waiting for me. He was there. So as I said, theater and family for me, they're just very much intertwined. But the production of Rent that we did, there are no words to describe just the joy it brought to me, just working with a group of artists that had such a passion for the show and the meaning behind the show. we took our love for the show and brought it out to the community. We worked at a local soup kitchen and delivered, meals to the poor. We did a food pantry as well, and just a number of community initiatives too, which just made it all the more special. And we only got one weekend to perform it because that theater just does one weekend of shows, and it just was everything. We just poured our heart and soul on that stage. And for me to do that role, when I was younger in my 20s, I was playing the ingenue in many shows. And then as you get a little bit older and I've got a lower register voice, I started getting into some of those more juicier roles. And when I was cast as Maureen, which was a dream come true, and not only was I playing a role that I had grown up in, been so excited to play for the music that she got to sing, but just to be, to represent the LGBTQ community. It's not something that I've been able to do in my theater, even though I've worked with and I have a lot of friends in that community. It really just opened my eyes to so many things, and it really brings me back to the root of our song that we listened to earlier, The Light, where no rich, no poor, no color blindness is one of our lyrics. Like, you just be kind to everyone. We're all going through our own. I talked about my journey with my mom and her cancer. Like, everybody's going through something in their life. But I think the great thing about theater is every time you walk into an auditorium and you sit in that seat, and it's whatever's going to happen before you on that stage, it's something you've probably experienced in your life or something that's going to hit home and resonate. And so I say, with the state of affairs of the pandemic, I've got so many friends in the theater community that have either lost jobs during this time, or people that are running theaters that are scared their doors are going to close down forever. A big shout out to those that have been here a long time in Rhode Island. The community players are near and dear to my heart. I've done many shows with them. Little Theater Fall River, Academy Players. Rita Marin does amazing work. And I've also had the opportunity to direct children's theater, Triborough Youth Theater. I spent a few years with them up in Attleboro, and then very close with the folks at Arts Alive in Barrington. And they're just doing these wonderful programs, and they're trying to do things online for these kids and keep the momentum going. But if I can really leave with one thing today, is just to really support artists out there. Whatever your political affiliation is, it really comes down to us as individuals to really help and support your local theater. So whether it be to go see their shows, but if they're not selling tickets right now, sponsor them, help them out during these times, help them to keep those doors open.
There's always something you can do. And if you'd like more information about Melanie, she does have a website, and it's pretty easy to remember since it's her name, Melanie, M-E-L-A-N-I-E, Gendreau, G-E-N-D-R-E-A-U.com. And you can see pictures there of some of the shows she's been in, and get more information. Melanie, thanks so much for coming on and being on Conducting Conversations with me tonight. It's a real pleasure to get to know you better.
Thank you, Mike. It's funny how
our paths have crossed. You mentioned going into the lobby after opening night at Les Mis. I was probably standing right next to you.
That's right, and we never knew.
Can't wait to hopefully have Evan come in. Right now, we're going to go out listening to that piece of music from Rent, Seasons of Love, and we'll see you next time on Conducting Conversations.
Love, how about love? Measuring love.
Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.